CBSI in the world. I'm John Bessel with Malcolm Holine, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. Jordan. Where is Jordan in the conflict in all directions for Israel? It's the next door neighbor. It's been at peace with Israel for many years and yet dominated by the Palestinian refugees of many decades ago. We welcome Dr. Aaron Lerman, a lecturer at Shalom College in Jerusalem, Vice President of the Jerusalem Institute for Strategy and Security. Malcolm, you have a Jordan question. Go ahead.
I do. Thank you for being with us, Iran. Could you tell us a little bit about your assessment? Jordan has been not a subject of discussion here, although it's been intimately involved. We've seen the demonstrations outside the Israeli embassy and the attempts to smuggle weapons from Iran through Jordan to the West Bank. What is the status now of Jordan-Israel's relationship and Jordan's role given the recent conflict?
Well, it's, let's say, I wouldn't call it schizophrenic, but there's a clear distinction here between what the Jordanians really need and understand to be their long-term interest and their need to cater to a very stormy public sphere where indeed there is quite a large number of angry Palestinians. And I think consistently in surveys that Pew and others have conducted, the level of public hostility to Israel in Jordan is among the highest in the Arab world, whereas the cooperation with the government is also one of the closest we have with any Arab country. So it's shot through with ironies, but at the end of the day, the Jordanian government, the king, the defense establishment, fully understand that we have a common interest, not only in thwarting attempts by Iran to use Jordan as a jumping board to penetrate Judea and Samaria, but also in doing it in such a decisive manner that the Iranians will stop trying. And they've been quite aggressive in their operations. They have another problem up north with the Syrians trying to use the border for drug smuggling, specifically Captagon, which is produced in Syria in huge amounts. This is what keeps the Assad regime going. And so the Jordanians have issues that we share with them. We have the same concerns. And that's one aspect of the situation. At the same time, they're making all sorts of unpleasant noises about Israel and its intentions and its operations. They have been doing regular airdrops of support into Gaza, which we do not object to, of course. We don't want a humanitarian crisis there. The king himself has flown these missions. So clearly he flew over Israeli territory to get there. But all of this, is, as I said, it's full of ironies. It is a very complicated situation. It's the cooperation by now, of course, is largely off the radar screen as much as possible. But at the end of the day, this is a regime that understands that its long-term interests cohere with ours.
Dr. Lerman, some time ago, I was educated to understand the Muslim Brothers are very strong in Amman, surrounding the king, and they put a lot of pressure on the king. Now, Muslim Brothers are connected to Hamas ideologically. Is that a factor in the Jordanian conduct?
Well, in the public domain, in the in parliament, for example, there are elements of the Brotherhood which are very noisy. And the king has to take this into account. He certainly has no interest and no need to confront them openly at this time. But over the years, the Jordanians had a very different approach to the Muslim Brotherhood than our Egyptian neighbors. Instead of destroying them violently, they split them up into groups and co-opted part of these groups into the political system. It comes with a cost. But at the end of the day, they do not have a real effect on the ongoing security cooperation, which is vital for both countries. This is why the Israeli government, while quite unhappy about some of the voices we hear and some of the demonstrations that are directed at our embassy, will at the end of the day steer clear of a direct confrontation with the Jordanians.
Malcolm?
When we've read a lot about the Houthis continuing to fire, including in the last 24 hours, against an American naval ship in the Red Sea. And we also see that China and Russia seem to be offering support to the Houthis in exchange for their being told that they would be immune to the hits, although it did not materialize in that way. What do you see happening now? What secret talks are going on? What could stop the Houthis from the continuing impact on an economic impact on the West and on shipping in the Red Sea and their attacks on the vessels there?
Well, let's start by saying that luckily, because of the dynamics of the global energy market, the impact so far of the problem of sailing through the Red Sea and the Suez Canal have impacted Egypt more than the West, really. The oil prices, energy prices have not spiked. Have not yet spiked as a result. However, it is, of course, a major problem, a major challenge to maritime trade and to world orders in general. And military pressure is being applied to the Houthis, perhaps not as intensely as some people would desire. It is more focused on their capabilities, on their launch pads, etc., rather than on the key regime targets. But it could escalate. And at the end of the day, they probably understand that they are running a growing risk, challenging not only the Saudis, which they've been fighting for years, but now the Western powers, which are building up their presence in the Northern Arabian Sea. So I assume that there are channels where there's been talks for the settlement of the Yemen internal situation in Yemen for some time. There has been a long ceasefire. There are clearly channels. There is an American envoy and UN negotiators all at work trying to mitigate the catastrophic situation in Yemen in general. At the end of the day, it's all about Iran. The Iranians are using their proxies all over the place, and the time has come to focus on the head of the octopus and not just its arms.
Dr. Aaron Lehrman, lecturer at Shalom College, Jerusalem, Vice President, Jerusalem Institute for Strategy and Security, Malcolm Honlein, Conference President. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,